This is quite a privilege. So very thankful to be able to hold forth God's word. And today I wanted to take you on a little journey. And the journey title of the teaching is called The Highway of God. And there is a pathway of God. And I'd like you to go to Psalm 102 as we start. There is a pathway that God sets up in his word. And he calls it a highway. He calls it a couple of other things too. And I wanted to share with you about that pathway and about that highway and about the road that we walk on. And I wanted to ring true to each of our hearts. My prayer and hope is that it does to you in your heart that it, what it did for me, then understanding that there is a total separateness to God's highway and the different things that are going on in this world. And that we have the benefit of being on God's highway. So let's look at the word with that in mind today. In Psalm 102, I'd like to read verses 18 through 20. The highway of God. Verse 18 of Psalm 102. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. The sanctuary is translated a little differently in the next verse we're going to read, but I want you to see how that the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. And we do that. We have a way to give perfect praise to God now via the manifestations of Holy Spirit, specifically speaking in tongues. God looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. And we know that being the third heaven. God looked down and he beheld the earth and he heard the groaning of the prisoner to loose. And to loose is interesting. They translated it loose here, but it means to open. It's from the same Hebrew word where when Moses tapped the rock, the rock opened up and the water came out. And there's many, many more like that in God's word. But it means to open. What opened? Well, those that are appointed to death. A way was opened that took them away from their appointment with death. And that was a result of Adam's high treason and what he caused and the consequences of it. There was no way away from the appointment of death before what Jesus Christ accomplished happened. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. The high road is the road. The high road is the pathway. The highway to God's sanctuary. To those that are appointed to death. There's a road that does not have death on it. There's a road that has life on it. Isaiah chapter 35. Let's read a couple of verses here. Verses 8 and 9 in Isaiah chapter 35. And I want to look at one more usage of this word in Hebrew that's translated where we just read sanctuary. That God looked down from the height of his sanctuary. Just to give you a little more understanding of what the word sanctuary means. Another flavor, another layer of the flavor of it. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, and a highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness is that word, the Hebrew word that's translated his sanctuary. God's sanctuary is the way of holiness. And there is going to be a highway in a way to that. The unclean shall not pass over it. There's no way the unclean will get on this road. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. The world may think of us as fools, may think of us as unlearned, because we believed in a man that died on a piece of wood. They may think that foolish, that that's the way to have eternal life. But let him think. They're not going to get on that one. No lions shall there be, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, including the roaring lion. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk thereon. Are we not redeemed? We have a highway. We have a pathway. And there's only one way to get on it. We'll see that in a minute. But that pathway cannot be walked except by those that have entrance to it. So don't think in your life that anything is on your pathway. I want to show you how that you can think of things in a whole different perspective. That they can be beside the pathway, but they are not on your pathway. Your pathway is for the righteous and the redeemed. Psalm 18. God's highway is the way of holiness. A highway is designed to be traveled upon, to go from point A to point B, from death unto life. The highway and the way of holiness is for the redeemed to walk upon. In Psalm 18, I'd like to read verse 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. God set us there. We can't go climb on that pathway. There's no engine, no motor, there's no vehicle that can get up on that pathway. God has to place us on the pathway. And that's what we're reading in Psalm 18, verse 33, that God sets us on our high places, and we can claim those high places as our high places. We can claim the throne room. That I don't want to get ahead of myself. Ephesians chapter 2. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. We have everything we need to walk on the highway, the way of holiness. We are not without. God did not make us able and give us something to do that we have the inability to function thereon. We can walk. We can run. And by my God, I've run through a troop. By my God, I've leaped over a wall. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can abound in all of life's situations. I can walk on the highway. I can run on the highway. I'd like to take you to Ephesians chapter 2 because I want to show you about this highway, because what we've just read is the highway of God, God's highway. That's genitive of origin. The highway originated with God, and he kept that highway secret. Nobody could find the highway. They looked. They couldn't find it. So we have the highway of God. But let's learn a little bit more about this highway, because it's the highway to God also. It's directive. It's directional. It gives us a direction to go in life. Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to start in verse 11 and read through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. No highway. Wasn't available to get to God. Verse 13, but now, a little bit of a change here, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, by his accomplishments. Blood is a figure of speech synecdoche, and it means part represents the whole, referring to the blood, but it's his whole perfect sinless life, all of his accomplishments, what he went through, and what God did for him in the resurrection. You're made nigh by that. For he is our peace, verse 14, who had made both one. What? Who made the Gentiles and the Judeans one. And hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Even if you had a road, there was a wall there. Couldn't get through it. The Judeans could hardly get through it. When you think about the middle wall partition and you think about the holiest of holies and you think about that 90-foot tall veil that they had to go through to get into, to do the high priest to do the sacrifice once a year. They tied a rope around his middle because if there was something that he had sinned in, he died in there. He wasn't clean. They did the best that they could and they had to pull him out. You couldn't even go in there and get him out. But that middle wall partition, God was dead serious about it. It is because of his holiness. Death doesn't come into his presence. God is life. God is holy. And he made a pathway unto himself. That man that was dead in sins and trespasses with a God and without hope could get into. Wow. I don't know what else to say. It's overwhelming. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Why were we afar off? We were not only afar off, we were dead in sins and trespasses, without God and without hope. We may think that, oh, I wish I could be back when I was younger, didn't have a care in the world. I call that the without God and without hope time of life. No, thank you. Having slain the enmity thereby, I'll tell you what. He came and preached priest to you which were far off, to them that were nigh, the Israelites. They were closer than we were, but... Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's through Jesus Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And it's by that Holy Spirit that we have access. It's not by our good works. It's not by anything but that one Spirit. And that's what God looks at when he sees us. He sees the accomplishments of his Son Jesus Christ. And he's pretty dang happy about that. How about that, huh? And we have those accomplishments inside of us. The road out of the consequences of Adam's transgression, it happened with and by Jesus Christ's accomplishments. But you can't have a highway to God without having the highway of God. So we've learned about the highway of God, and we've learned about the highway to God is through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Is that not the coolest? And it was, you couldn't even get there. There's a wall up there. You couldn't get there. Couldn't even get through it until the wall was broken down. It was rent in two. That veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And that's that veil that Jesus Christ went through. That tiny little place on the face of this earth that he went through to get through the covering of guilt and shame and condemnation that the God of this earth coated it with when he was given power over this earth because of Adam's high treason. And God opened that up. He rent it. Said, Jesus Christ, come on through. And that's what we get through. The holiest of holies. We have access into the throne room. That ought to send chills up your spine. That ought to make your face start to flush a little bit. What a great day it is to be alive. Wow. The pathway, the highway of God. Well, that's not all. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to talk about looking for the highway now. They knew something was there because they knew where their life was at. It was miserable. I don't care what they tried to do with the Old Testament law. It just didn't work. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 10 through 13. Looking for the highway. Buscando para el camino. Looking for the highway. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They learned that something was coming. It was God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. They knew something was coming and they looked for it. Boy, did they look for it. They looked for that salvation. They looked for that going from death unto life. And in the meantime, they had that stopgap measure called the Old Testament law that they kept coming up short against. All the sacrifices that were done every day and what they had to deal with. And then once a year, the high priest would do one and then they'd start all over again. Well, Jesus Christ, he came, he was a perfect sacrifice. He gave his life as a ransom for man's sins. He redeemed us. Our sins were blotted out, covered over. There's no reason to go around feeling miserable in life. We've been delivered. It's not by our works. It's by God's grace and mercy. For by grace are we saved. And they looked for it. They looked for it. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's all it talked about. And that's all it still talks about in the Old Testament. That's why there's a veil over your face and head spiritually. If that's all you study is the Old Testament law. You can learn about the sufferings of Christ and what the Messiah, he was going to come and what he was going to go through. And you learned that there was going to be something after it. Man was going to be redeemed, but you did not learn the mystery. You did not learn about what the grace actually was, what the highway was. The master builder hadn't laid it out yet. It was laid out in his mind from before the foundation of the heavens and the earth, but it hadn't been put into application. Now, there's a testifying of this in the Old Testament, but don't think you're going to find it in there. Don't think you're going to find grace and salvation and how to get born again in there. It's in the New Testament, in His blood. Romans to Thessalonians, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. God didn't even tell the angels about the highway. They just knew there was going to be something. Not in their wildest imaginations that they could come up with it. And had the God of this earth known it, He would not have crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And we would not have Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we do. God kept it a secret. In verse 13, wherefore, on account of this, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be amazed. Marvel. Be amazed. Marvel at salvation, the highway of God. And I want to do just a few second aside here on this word brought in verse 13. That's going to be brought unto you. It's connected to the receiving of crowns and rewards that we're going to receive. It's going to be brought unto us. Think about your inheritance. It's being protected by angels in the third heaven. It can't be touched. It fades not away. Crowns that are going to be brought unto us. We can't have them now. We don't even know what they look like. They have nothing to do with things that we could even know and perceive right now. It's going to be brought unto us. That's why it doesn't use those other words for like receive. It's brought unto us. At the Bema, we're going to have things brought unto us that are going to be as magnanimous as the new body, which is going to be brought unto us. We have a new body coming that unless we were at the resurrection and saw it, and the among 500 brethren that saw it, Jesus Christ's resurrected body, we don't know what it looks like. And we're going to have a glorious body fashioned like unto that body. It's going to be glorious for us. It's going to be brought unto us. So look forward on this highway for things that are going to be brought unto you. Have the greatest expectancy of the things of God that are coming to us. You know it says in the Word about pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, and like measure as you mete out. Give. Love. Help. Care for. Make your life available on this highway and pathway of life because it's coming back to you. Look what Jesus Christ gave. And God's giving us because of that. He's giving to us because of that. Wow. And you think your life is not important sometimes? Oh, go make those cookies and give them to somebody and hold forth the word while you're doing it. Oh, it's okay. Have fun. When you see God's abundance in your life, don't hoard it all for yourself. Go give a penny of it to somebody. Go give a farthing. Or you remember the widow, the mite? Go give. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Our lives are so full, so abounding because of the highway that we're on. Not because of this earth that we live on, but because of the highway that we're on. Sure it is. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 3, be amazed at the marvel of salvation, the highway of God that we're on, that they looked into trying to find it. Well, we have found it. We're on it. Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 4 to 8. We're on a journey. We're on an adventure, a grand adventure, that we're saved by God's grace, who is rich in mercy. If you want to put a bullet point, saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show in the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's through the faith and the believing of Jesus Christ. He took and mixed his measure of faith that God's given every man. He took and mixed his measure of faith with God's word and believed it and lived like he was, because he was the Son of God. Are we not the sons and daughters of the Most High God? Can we not mix our faith with the same? Of course we can. Because God is rich in mercy, we are saved by his grace. That's why his grace, his favor has come into our life, because of his mercy. And mercy is the withholding of merited judgment, not getting what we deserve. And then man's hackles raise up when he hears that one. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, Adam did. And his giving affected the whole world. Yeah. But God is a merciful God. He wants a family. He says, I'm going to make a way. And we know that way. We know a lot about it now because we study God's word. Ephesians chapter 1. Go back a chapter. I'd like to read verses 17 to verse 20. Because God is rich in mercy, we're saved by his grace. And because of his grace, he made us sit together in heavenly places. His highway takes us right into the throne room, the highway of God. There will be nothing unclean on that highway. And don't think that your enemy and whoever's causing you harm, that if they're not born again, if they're going to be on that highway. Look at them as being beside it. They're not on it. You're on it. You qualify. You met the qualifications. You made Jesus your Lord. You believe God raised him from the dead. Yeah, for with the heart man believeth. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, there's that genitive. Whenever you see the word of, you can, they didn't mess it up too much when the King Jimmy boys translated in the Stephen's Greek text into English back in the 1600s. They got the genitive pretty good. Of genitive of origin, genitive of possession. Peace is like that in God's word. God is the God of peace, but his peace, the peace of God, is in us. But we have the God of peace and the peace of God both. We have the originator of it and that which he originated. God originated the highway, and we have access to get on the highway. Wow. That the God of, genitive of origin, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, genitive of origin, he originated these things, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, when they were crucifying our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest darkness and spiritual powers on this earth focused on, it's like having a magnifying glass focusing the sun's energy on one tiny spot to make it explode into flame. They focus on getting rid of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's really taught on Calvary and the horrificness and horribleness of it, which it is. Please don't get me wrong. But what happened with God's focus And God focused on that one man also and raised him from the dead. The power, the might of the Creator took all of his energy and focus and raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead so that he could have a family and he could honor what Jesus Christ accomplished. And we have a highway and a pathway. Our God's amazing and he loves us. He did that for us. And he wants us to know about it. That's why it says here in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lighten them up. Wake up and pay attention. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. And what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Oh yeah, you do have to believe. You got to mix your faith. We'll see that. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, the highway of God. He had to finish the highway. It was finished in Christ. It couldn't be finished until the accomplishments happened. They had to have all the materials. It had to happen, and it happened. The highway was finished when the highway was finished. They could look all they want, but they weren't going to find it. It hadn't even been finished yet. Love that. So thank you, God, for granting wisdom to all who sit by you on your throne. With your wisdom, may I learn what pleases you well. And by your wisdom, may I be guided in my life, and in my actions on the highway of your holiness. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Our God's amazing. By his wisdom, he created heavens and the earth. By his wisdom, he kept it a mystery. By his wisdom, we have his word. And he wants our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so we can understand his wisdom. And he gives us his wisdom. Thank you, God, for your grace. In 2 Samuel, in the Old Testament, chapter 16, I'd like to read verses 12 to 14. Because now we learned of the highway, we learned to the highway, and we learned they were looking for the highway, and then we learned about being on the highway and where the highway went. That makes pretty good sense now, doesn't it? Probably already knew this, but it's fun teaching it. But what about beside the highway? And I think by understanding what we just looked at, we're going to have one of those indelible things that just they may help be a paradigm shift in our life about the way we think about ourselves. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. It may be, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And this was David, King David. And this is that little runt guy, Shimei, that was throwing stones and casting dust. And David was talking about this. And as David, verse 13, and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed himself there. So they were weary. They were walking on the pathway. And this was a pathway that God set up for them to walk on, because you can look back at King David's life and you can see what he did, what he accomplished, and was part of the red thread for Jesus Christ to come. He was on the pathway. We're part of that red thread too, because we're sons and daughters from that. And here's this guy, this little Shimei guy, casting stones and throwing dust. Was he on the pathway? No, he was beside the pathway. He was beside the pathway. And those men asked him, can I go take him out? They wanted to take this guy out. And they had the swords to do it. David says, no, we let God take care of us. Quit worrying about what's beside the pathway. It's not on your pathway. Your pathway is a pathway of righteousness, a pathway of redemption. It's a pathway that was paved by our Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody's getting on that pathway but those that meet the qualifications. And we meet the qualifications. We're born again. We mixed our faith with Romans 10, 9, and 10. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So that was beside the pathway, and here's a little bit more about the highway of God. Psalm 23, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. It's all out there. Don't worry about it. You're on the pathway. Apply the principles of God's word. Live according to how God's word says to live. You'll see God's immutable laws work. Give and you're going to receive. There's so much that we have while we're walking on this pathway of our lives, which for us in the finite, it's going from point A to point B, going from when we got born again to when Jesus Christ comes back for us. But what about after that? That's the pathway that actually takes us physically into the throne room with our new bodies. So you can look at the pathway with a couple different aspects. While on the pathway, there's nothing that's going to get on it that's going to mess with our lives, because God takes care of us. Even in the presence of our enemies. Why would God prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies if we couldn't get to it? We have the table prepared. He wants us to come up and eat of it. We just don't have to worry about what's going on in life. In fact, we're told to not heed all that stuff. And we're told that this morning, no matter what, in people that were believers that were praying. Don't even worry about what they're trying to set up and do out there on this earth. Our pathway is prepared. It's a solid pathway, and it's a pathway that went from death unto life. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So with whatever life presents, doesn't matter. No matter. We're on the highway of God. This is totally separate from that which is not on the highway of God. We will always be on the highway of God, because salvation guarantees that. The highway that we walk in life is by our own choosing, just like salvation was a choice we made. That's why it's so important to learn God's word, to put it on and live according to it. And to be as black and white with the seven church epistles as those legalistic people are with the religion and the law. That I am a son of God. I will be what the word of God says. I can do what the word of God says. I have God's favor in. We know those things. It's absolute. It's absolute. And to close in Hebrews chapter 3, I wanted to share about the mixing of faith. Jesus Christ did it, and we did it too. We did it too. You know, in the book of Acts, remember Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2? While you're turning to Hebrews chapter 3? You remember Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2? Toward the end of it, it says that their hearts were pricked within them. And then they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And then Peter said, repent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he said. Their hearts were pricked. And you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing and asunder, that's the pricking. God's word, it can get it to the heart. But it takes the individual doing one more thing, the mixing of his or her faith with it. Because faith, that's where it's mixed, down in the heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. And again, I'm going to read verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 3. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Oh my gosh, they couldn't? The rest was there. This is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. They could not enter. Let's talk about Israel. Chapter 4, verse 1. So let us therefore greatly respect, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you should seem to come short of it, not get that rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says that we have God's rest. And if you ever feel like you're coming short of it, it's not because the pathway, the highway hasn't been made. It's because of something else going on. It's because of most probably the need to learn more of God's word, to put it on and act accordingly. And there are things that come into life, it's called tribulation and called sufferings, that we have to deal with. But that doesn't keep us off the highway, and it doesn't keep us out of God's rest. That's here between our earballs. That's what I'm talking about here. And this rest, it's a promise because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. It's part of the highway. The highway is a restful highway because there's no evil on it. The highway is a restful highway because it goes right into the throne room. What's beside the highway is the stone throwing and the dust kicking and all the other stuff. For unto us, verse 2, was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's totally up to the individual. Once you hear God's word, to mix your faith with it. Now, we know that, and we do that. We mix our faith, the measure of faith that God gave to every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. We mixed it enough and got born again. The word of God, it pricked our heart. We knew that there was something bigger, and we saw enough about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished that we wanted that salvation. We wanted that to be part of that, and it happened. Well, it continues to happen as we continue to be enlightened, as we have the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we keep mixing our faith with more of God's word. And if we need rest, if we need more rest in this life, godly rest, the highway of God rest, then we need to mix our faith with more of God's word and get out there and act accordingly. And if there's something so big that's causing tribulation and suffering, then you take it right to the throne room, because we all have access in there by ourselves. We don't need the Pope or anybody. We have access in there by ourselves. And to say, God, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for rebuking the sufferings that I'm going through and turning them around, because I'm on the highway. I'm on the pathway. I've been taken from death unto life. And I really prefer not to have to wait till Jesus Christ comes back to see that life. I want to see it now. I want to see it more. I want to see it abound like your word says. I want to walk Christ-like. I want to be able to move your word and walk in his footsteps. I want to be pleasing unto you, and that you are have no greater joy than to hear that I walk in truth. I want to show you how much I love and respect you, your wisdom, and what you did for me and making me your son, making her your daughter, etc. Puts it on. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Yes, we have entered in. We are on the pathway. We have mixed our faith with God's word and are living on the highway of God, the pathway of his holiness. And in closing, I'd like to read a little poem called The Way. It was written by a pilgrim named John Oxenham back 1700s. It's called The Way. To every man there openeth a way and a ways and a way. And the high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth the way his soul shall go. God opened to us the highway with his word. We walk on that highway, and as we live according to God's word, which we are, and you can be so proud of yourself, one day there's going to open to you, it's going to come to you, the inheritance, the riches, the crowns, the land, everything that God promises in his word that we're going to be partakers of, the new body on the new earth. One day he's going to tell us, kids, go back into that room and just wait a minute when we're up in heaven. And that's what we're understanding, that this heaven and this earth is going to be destroyed, and God's going to create that new heaven and new earth where he's the Son. We're going to live on that. And it's going to be brought to us. How could you not live your life with the greatest expectancy, the greatest hope, the greatest anticipation of what God's bringing to us? Even if you feel like you live in the worst place on earth and it's the worst place that you could never receive anything, like maybe like you're used to receiving. The next instant can be His return, should the Lord tarry. He says He's coming back in a moment of time. And that's when it's going to be brought to us. That's where we have the expectancy for, the anticipation for. That's part of the hope, to live our life full of hope and expectancy. And that transfers into everything else. Well, everything else pales in comparison to that. There's nothing that can compare to what God's going to do for us, so much so that He's not even telling us exactly what it is. But it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be brought. It's going to be open. The door is going to be open to us. We've already stepped through it into the throne room. So enjoy your life as you're walking on the highway. And anything that's coming at you that's not godly, it's not getting on there. It's beside it. And keep that separation. And as you keep that separation, it helps you keep your footing, because He's placed us in our high places. He guides our feet. Like the mama goat would guide the little baby. They would walk right into mama's feet up on the high mountains. Wouldn't fall off. We're not falling off. No way. Don't even look at life like that. Look at it like you can triumph and do anything you need to do, as long as you draw breath. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, everybody.
In John 14, these are the first six verses. Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions." The word mansions doesn't mean mansions, it means dwellings, places to live, muchas moradas. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Verse 4, "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." I kind of like that in Spanish, because it's pretty clear. "Conocen el camino a donde voy." You know where I'm going. "Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. How can we know the way?" Verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And so in verse 1, we see it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Okay, do you have a troubled heart? Well, don't let it be troubled. And it's talking about your whole being. It's not just your heart. It's not just your mind. It's your body. It's everything. "You believe in God, believe also in Me. Let not your heart be troubled." You got troubles? Listen. You believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ and everything that He did. One of the greatest keys to deliverance from troubles is actually twofold. Double. To believe in God and to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I only recently saw this, that we are given believing directives, especially for times of trouble. Problemas. We are to believe in each one. They have different roles. I find it very interesting that the hope is based on a dwelling. In verse 2, we read, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I think it's so cool. And not any dwelling will do. No sirve qualquer morada. Not any dwelling will do. It must be one prepared by Jesus Christ. Debe ser una preparada por Jesucristo. And verse 3 says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow, that ought to hit you like a ton of bricks. And this is why I said, porque se fue, volverá. Because he went, he will come again. Verse 3. Because he went, he will come again. If I go, I will come again. It's so cool. So my question is this. Entonces mi pregunta es la siguiente. What way should you go? I think in Spanish you could also say which way. But which way, what way should you go? Or should you take? And I find this absolutely beautiful. Es precioso. En el versículo 4, in verse 4 we read, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Look how he's talking right to us. I skip Thomas. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We should learn some Spanish, folks. You guys do the affirmations. Mm-hmm. Yo soy el camino, el verdad, y la vida. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what language you learn that in. That is absolutely beautiful. Then in verse 6, we see that we've seen that Jesus is the only way. And this is something that will never change. Algo que nunca cambiará. Cambiará. That's a hard one for me. Cambiará. In these crazy times, we must hold fast to this beautiful truth. Isn't it funny how that at odds are craziness and beauty? Nothing that the devil does can change this reality. Nothing. Oh, he's trying to. They think they're so great with all their robots and eternal power and their devil gospels and all their destruction and stealing and killing. They just love it. But let me tell you something. Nothing that the devil does can change the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold on to that, folks. And by the way, you're not going to live through the tribulation. You're in the Grace Administration. You are a Christian. And your destiny is not to face that. I don't care what it looks like. Stop worrying about it. Every time that you are troubled, think on Jesus. Cada vez que estás preocupado, piensa en Jesús. On his work before, en su trabajo antes, his work during, en su trabajo durante, and the preparations that he is now doing, en los preparativos que está haciendo ahora. You will, and this is what you might think is absolutely bonkers, it comes back to the mansion or the dwelling. I'd rather call it what it is. It's a dwelling. You will have a place to live. Tendrás un lugar donde vivir. I suppose that is the one thing that people worry about more than anything. Because there it is, front and center. You will have a place to live. Then I said, and to close with, y para terminar, John 10:10, the thief cometh not, and he's in full color now, not stopping anything. But the lawless one is not yet released, because we're not gone. So don't worry about that. He cannot be released until we leave. That's the truth of God's word. There has to be that departure. And I've taught that very clearly. It's in an audio, it's in audio teachings. Go listen to it if you worry about that. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you are seeing it firsthand. If you lived 100 years ago, you'd have a whole different life. But ladies and gentlemen, you are in front of it right now. You're in front of it right now. And you're going to see things happen this year that are going to freak you out. But you should be ready for it. Because the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's never changed. The first time you heard that in the foundational class, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it was, whenever it was, that was just as real then as it is today, only today it's coming to bear. The thief cometh not. That's all he does. This is his own. This is him. There's nothing else to him. He's a schmuck. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you are seeing all of that unfold in your day and in your time. This is the time in which you've been appointed to live. He's a thief. I mean, I like this verse in the German. It's just so crazy emphatic. Der Dieb kommt nur, zu stellen, zu verlachten, zu verdurben. Doesn't it sound crazy even if you don't understand it? It's so emphatic. That's all he does. Let me tell you all Jesus Christ does. I am come that they might have life. I love that in German too. Ich bin gekommen, damit sie das Leben haben. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Wow. You can hear that in Spanish. Y para que la tengan en abundancia. abundancia. Wow.
In abundance.
That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what you hold on to. And that will not change. It's going to be that way until your feet are in the sky. The abundance and the life, while what Joe is talking about beside the highway, but not on it, that thief is going to be stealing and killing and destroying. But that's not our call. That's not our role. Ours, according to 3 John 2, the path of prosperity, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And that word prospereth is mean being on the right path. It's a path of prosperity, and you're not getting off of it because you're born again. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In German it says, the last part, und es in Fülle haben, that your life is Fülle, full, full, full. I am come that they might have life, and that it is, that you have it in fullness. In Spanish, it's in abundance. And so too in English. That's what you're supposed to be living. So no matter what's going on out there, and all the scary things they're saying and doing, these truths do not change. Hold on to them. All right. Thank you. Love you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you, Jerry.